bulletin, it's online, or it's on CCB, praise God. So you can follow along on that. So if you don't have access to CCB, please see one of the dynamic duo brothers, John and TJ. They'll be able to help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they'll be able to awesomely get you set up for that. Amen. So we're going to begin a new series this month called Living Out Loud. Everybody say Living Out Loud. So in this series, we're going to be talking about things that we all need to do to amplify the call and the plan of God and purpose of God in all of our lives. So we are created, commanded, and called to serve God in our various workplaces, in our homes, in our environments, communities in which we live. And so we want to reflect and think futuristically, how loud am I living to express the person and power of Christ in my life? How loud is my witness, my worship, and my work in Christ? Am I letting my light shine before men so that they see good works and glorify God because they see the Jesus in me? Amen. You know, time is wrapping up and we must be about our Father's business. Amen. And one of the ways to kind of get back on course or on track or make course correction is by the title of today's message, which I've called Stay Focused. Everybody say, Stay Focused. Stay focused. Now in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, be strong and very courageous. I'm reading out a New Living Translation. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you, and do not deviate from them. Notice the implication that God gives, direction that he gives Joshua. Don't deviate from them, turning them to the right or to the left. In other words, don't get distracted. Stay focused. Then you will be successful. One of the very few times the Bible mentions success in the Bible. Out of the 800,000 scriptures, this is one of the rare occasions of success mentioned. He said, don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Stay on course. Stay focused. Everybody say, stay focused. He says, study this book of instruction continually. How often? Continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be able to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and what? Succeed in all you do. Now, John Maxwell said once, you cannot become what you need to be by remaining what you are. In Philippians chapter 3, let's look at, again, just refresh ourselves to the discipline of focus. We find in Philippians chapter 1, 3 verse 1, I'm reading out of King James, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. The same, to write to you the same things unto you, to deed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He tells us, beware of dogs, because they'll take away your focus. Beware of evil workers. Why? Because they'll take away your focus. Beware of the concision, religious folks. People that walk around with religious correctness and without the righteousness of God, consciousness. They'll take away your focus. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. In other words, the other three categories of people put confidence in the natural. They put natural things as superior to spiritual things. They have misaligned priorities. He said, though I may have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinking that he may whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And in other words, Paul's saying, I got more natural things, accomplishments made in my body than in comparison to other people. And you would think, as he lists his resume, he said, I'm born in the right, circumcised at the right day, certainly 8th day, of the stock of Israel, right nation, of the tribe of Benjamin, right tribe, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, right people, and he right pedigree. And he said, it's touching the law, a Pharisee. He said, I got the right religious education. I'm a PhD in theology, in the Jews' religion. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, he said, man, I was very zealous. I was on fire as a religious person. Touching the righteousness of the law, blameless. That means I dotted every I and crossed every T. So he's listing his resume, his pedigree. And he said, but what things were gained to me, I count it loss for Christ. And you've heard me mention this before. He begins to compare these things and say in verse 7, lost for Christ. Yet doubtless I count all things but lost. Verse 8, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. I do count them but dung or cow patties or cow dung that I may win Christ. That means everything in the natural pales in comparison to who I am in Christ. In my calling and my inheritance and my power and purpose in Christ. Are you listening to me? Yes. And this word loss is the Greek word kemain, K-E-M-A-I-N, which is basically translated liability. He's saying to us that I've got a ledger and I'm calling it a loss ledger. And so he begins to list his resume of things that he's accomplished and things that the status that he has achieved. And he says, I'm counting that, like an accounting term, in my ledger as a liability. Everything we lean on in the natural sense of things that happens in our flesh is a liability when it comes and compares to Christ. Who we are, our calling, our inheritance, and our purpose and the power that's in Christ. Everybody say, stay focused. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of which of God is, which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto this death, but if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now he begins to tell us his process. We can learn some things from Paul. Because we must choose to live not by our emotions, but by our decisions. Amen? Amen? Amen. You've heard me say before, I've heard it, others, looked it up myself. It's true. You know, decision, one of the definitions, is the state of cutting off. We said incision means to cut in. Excision means to cut out. Circumcision means to cut around. But decision means to cut off. In other words, you have to cut off things to stay focused. Verse 12, he said, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If I may apprehend that which I'm also apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing. Everybody say one thing. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things that are before, I press, everybody say press, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that high calling, friends, is not a what thing, it's who. It's not what you do, it's who you become. Amen. And we said the Christian believer who longs to finish well must cultivate and choose three disciplines. Number one, if you're taking notes, the discipline of focus. Everybody say the discipline of focus. That means striving for a single goal, the one thing, until completion. It's completion. Undeterred by obstacles or the taunts of the crowd, because people will try to talk you out and draw you away from your focus. Number two, the discipline of forgetting. We're not going to talk about that today. But that is basically refusing to be paralyzed or rendered complacent by the past. I like how Brother Steve said this morning, it's halftime. We've already completed 6 months of the year. You can't be paralyzed or complacent saying, man, I've done a lot of stuff in 6 months, and then get lazy the rest of it because you will lose focus. You can't be paralyzed that, well, these 6 months have been rough. I've been going through a lot. Don't sit on your blessed assurance. Stay focused. Amen. And number three, the discipline of following, which is the intense pursuing of the calling of the Christian life. We focus because focus is a choice. Everybody say focus is a choice. Turn to someone next to you, say, would you make a choice to stay focused? Paul said, this one thing I do. Now, if we took inventory of the room, we walked around and said, what's your focus? Now, we gave a definition of focus before. I'll repeat it again. Focus equals clear vision. In other words, we'd say, brother, what do you see? What do you see inside of you? Amen? Because each of us have a choice to either be a wandering generality, a jack of all trades and a master of none, or a meaningful specific, someone who's focused on a goal. I press toward marks, intermediate goals and objectives. What's my next focus point or focal point? These next 6 months or this month of July, what's my focal point? What's the mark that I am to press toward? That means pursue hotly, that definition of press, or to exert maximum sustainable effort. That means I, without a press, I don't get the prize. He said, press for the mark for the prize. We are to be pressing toward marks. Intermediate goals and objectives. Vision, that inward vision, that what you see inside generates direction and momentum. Usually people that don't have direction nor momentum, they sit and they've chilled out now as a Christian believer. They forgot that they were called. They forgot that they have an inheritance to appropriate and to access. They forgot that they have the power of God on the inside of them. So they stopped doing the work and the will of God for their life. No direction. No momentum. Amen. Yeah. Being focused is different from being good, the difference between good and best. We see Paul had focus. He knew he was a man of faith because he was looking ahead at something he did not have yet. There's something that all of us have a goal or a mark to get toward. Praise God. Hallelujah. Paul got to where he was because he was focused on the goal in faith. He didn't just wander around without a plan or a purpose. His eye was focus. Zig Ziglar said this once, nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. Nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. Don't let the battle, friends, make you lose your focus of where you are going and what you are supposed to be doing. There's no all-arounder in life. The world is ruled by specialists. He raised his church up to grow precious people like you, to be specialists. Amen? You belong somewhere. Don't let the battles that rage in your life chase you out of where you belong. Someone once said, you don't have a focus until you have a focus. You never are a focus until you have a focus. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, 20 and 24, let each man remain in the same calling which he was called. What are you called to do? Everybody's call is different. But collectively, we make up the parts. We are the sum of parts that make the whole. Everybody in this room is called to do something. If you're in Christ, you've been called. Amen? Verse 24 says, brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. Stay where God places you. The Lord said it in Matthew 6:22. If you therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. In other words, you have to be single-minded. This one thing I do. What is your focus today? Amen. Stay in your lane. Stay on your mission. Keep the main thing the main thing. So how successful you will become in life will be determined how much you stay focused where you belong. Now let's break down the word focus, because these indicate to us five steps to God's best. First one is F. We have to focus on the goal. So again, if we ask you, brother, sister, what's your focus? Now again, we have a choice. We can become a wandering generality or a meaningful specific. What am I supposed to be doing right now? What am I supposed to be pressing toward right now? N-O-W now. Y'all good?
Yes.
Y'all here? You're gone home already. Oh, you got to overcome indifference. Amen. Yeah. Indifference is a dangerous state of mind. It's defined as the absence of compulsion to or toward one thing or another. Synonymous words are apathy, lack of enthusiasm, detachment, lack of interest. Indifference is a dream killer. I don't care if I'm late. I don't care if I'm on time. I don't care if I serve. I don't care if I don't serve. I don't care if I do witness or I do not witness. I'm indifferent. You got to overcome indifference. Hebrews 6 in the Living Bible, Hebrews 6:12 in the Living Bible says this, knowing what lies ahead for you, you won't become bored with being a Christian. Are you bored? Because in Christ, all things are made new. That means every day is new in Christ. That means you're excited when you get up in the morning and take your place in Christ. You won't get so broken in your focus with a device or a TV show or a movie or what's happening in the world. Because it's so exciting in Christ, you just focus on what God got for me today, tomorrow, the next day, the next week. The Bible even says, His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. It's not seeing the same old bland Cheerios every morning. God's got a new bowl of something new every morning. Somebody say glory to God. He said, knowing what lies ahead for you, you won't become bored but with being a Christian, nor become spiritually dull and indifferent. But you will be anxious to follow the example of those who receive all that God has promised them because they are strong in faith and patience. C is conquer worry, fear, panic, and paralysis. The devil is the author of fear. He uses fear as a powerful weapon to cripple and destroy God's people. You ought to ask yourself, why am I doing this? If it's because you're afraid it won't get done, then you're doing it based on fear. Amen. You is undue blurred vision. Undue blurred vision. Focus, we said, equals clear vision. To be blurry means your focus is not clear. I can't see. Well, you ought to be able to see. Amen. Amen. S, stop hanging around unfocused friends. Friends, to taste the results of total focus, you must disassociate yourself from people who are unfocused and who aren't running the same race you're running. You gotta watch who you hang around. Increase and decrease come by association. You become like those whom you associate with. Proverbs 27:19, Living Bible says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he's really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. Amen? As hard as this sounds, friends, it's better to be alone than to be with the wrong company. Relationships shape character. Because if you're cooling off, you need to look at who's cooling off around me. Because you become like who you hang around. If they're not on fire for God, if they're not serving God, if they're not hotly pursuing and exerting maximum sustainable effort to the plan and purpose and call and will of God for their life, if they're not pressing toward the mark, then who am I hanging around?
Amen.
I'm hanging around outsiders, cooler offers. I know that's not good English. But some of us got cooler offers. They always talking about natural things. Now, for guys, it's usually sports and silly stuff. You know, hunting, guns, knives, movies, sports, and nothing that, I mean, you know, a lot of that's nothing necessarily super wrong with it, but you can get so indulged in that that you lose your focus. Amen. Because entertainment industry is there to do what? Entertain you. And one of the words for entertainment, definition of entertainment, is to get you to stop thinking. They don't want you to think. They just want you to laugh and enjoy. And we get so hooked on it like a drug. So we binge on hours of TV and movies and documentaries and Netflix and these video shows, documentaries, and we get so hooked into that, and we forget that we have been called. We forget that we have an inheritance. We forget that we have an assignment for God.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say, stay focused. Right associations are important because they lift you up and advance you. We all know people who think they don't need God, and they will tell you, I don't need religion. I don't need to go to church. I don't need God. Well, you need to make a mental note of them and say, Lord, I got to pray for them. Because it's not an issue of you pulling them in. The issue is the scripture says evil communication or company corrupts good manners. In other words, they will pull you out. Then in this case, relationship negativity trumps relationship positivity. So the negative people in your life who not serving God, who don't love God, who not obeying the call and will of God for your life, they will pull you down and not pick you up.
Amen.
Now, I say this, but see, people get so stuck on friends and family members who are like crabs in a bucket. They always pulling on you, and you wonder why you're cooling off. You wonder why you're not committed. I'm not getting too much help from them. Because, see, these people that think they don't know God, they appear to be living on Easy Street. And some of them even tell you how much money they're making because they're spending 7 days a week trying to make money. And Proverbs tell you a lot of stuff about people that are pursuing money. And you chasing after their tail. They're making all this money. So they must have wisdom. No, they have the wisdom of the world. You think they're on Easy Street, but then they tell you, well, me and my wife are fighting, they're divorced. Next thing you know, that they bankrupt. Next thing you know, they lost all their money. Next thing you know, they got on drugs or got into an affair. I don't know why I'm saying all that, but let's keep going. Because they think moving forward without him, because it's easy to be ungodly in this world. Oh, it's okay. Oh, okay, Holy Spirit wants me to say something. And some people think, well, look at that. They smoking a joint. Look like they all right. They putting a couple cocktails down. They all right. Casual Christianity thinks they all right. But it's a dead-end street. An easy street is a dead-end street. So take the high ground. Everybody say, take the high road. God has more for you than a dead-end street. Friends, you and I are to focus on our God-given purpose, the glorious good plan of God for our lives, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Everybody say, God has a plan.
God
has a plan. What's the plan? He'll tell you the plan. If you go to him for the plan. Because God is a planner. Everybody say, God's a planner. Planning is winning, friends.
Amen.
If you already put July 1st and you don't have a plan, then you're behind schedule.
Amen.
Everybody say, stay focused. What's your plan for July? Your spiritual plan, your study plan, your plan to win souls, your plan to serve God, and your plan to give.
Amen.
God is a planner. Planning is winning. Without planning, you plan to fail. Everybody say, stay focused.
Stay focused.
Purpose is impotent without a plan. We can all fluff our chests and put our thumbs behind our lapels and say, well, it's great, it's great. You know, I know my purpose. I got a big purpose in life. Yeah, but what's the plan? Every building requires a plan. Victims in life are typically in two areas. Number one, lack of planning. Number two, poor planning. You need a strategic plan, planning to maximize your ministry and business endeavors. See, if you're not futuristic in your approach, you cannot earn a future. I remember Mark Hankins' assistant used to always say, she said, Pastor Mark would get on her and say, if you're not 3 months ahead, you're behind. And some of us can't plan to check and make a decision on CCB once a week. Amen.
Amen.
They're not used to planning. Could a schedule out there. Plan ahead. We ought to at least be 30 days ahead. God, I already know. Before I step into July, I know what the plan is for July. And I focus on the plan. And Brother Steve called it out this morning. He said, all year, it's been a plan. You can see the pattern and the plan of God all year for the church of God here at Triumphant Word Christian Center. Amen?
Amen?
Good news, friends. God has a plan. Everybody say, God has a plan.
God has a plan.
And so thirdly, we must press toward the prize for which he has for us to achieve the marks that he's laid out for us to pursue. Now, friends, focus is the only way to destroy distractions. I'll say that again. Focus is the only way to destroy distractions. We all know the first account, the first family in the Bible, Adam and Eve, the first marriage. We're in the garden. They disobeyed the Lord's instruction, fell from glory due to their focus being broken through the distractions of the enemy. They let a snake get up and take them off their assignment. Snake crawling at the time. He had hands and feet, and he's crawling in. He says, subtly, you know, he come in slick, and he, did God really say something? You think he mean what he said? Now, they didn't have a book or Bible like we do. So they had just had a commandment of the Lord. Dress and keep you out. That was their job. That was supposed to be their focus. Friends, all the way through the Bible is telling us, focus on these instructions. Focus on these instructions. Day and night. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Stay focused. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
What happened to Adam and Eve? Distractions. One of the main reasons people fail is because of broken focus. In 1 Samuel 11, we see here, verse 1 through 5, in the New Living Translation, 1 Samuel 11, 1 through 5, it says, in the spring of the year, when the kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of his bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her, and she came to the palace. He slept with her. She had just completed the purification rites after having her menstrual period. Then she returned home. Verse 5, later, when Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant, she sent David a message saying, I'm pregnant. Friends, there is danger to distractions. The big thing about the danger of distraction is it takes you away, your attention and your focus away from what you are doing to what you're not supposed to be doing. If you're a new believer, you ought to be growing up as fast as you can, not missing any services. Amen. Don't shout me down, I'm preaching real good. Amen. Amen. You can't stay a baby. You don't survive long staying a baby. You get books, you need to be consuming them. You get opportunities to go to the pastor's discipleship group, you need to be there. Amen. You got school of the Bible, you need to be in attendance, even if your hair ain't combed. Amen. We appreciate you combing your hair, but you don't have to. Just put on some clothes. Amen? Amen. This is serious stuff. Amen. Everybody say, stay focused.
Stay focused.
See, its purpose, distractions, is to take you away from your purpose. Now, here's the real learning from the account in Scripture here through the life of King David. Whenever you avoid the battle you were born for, you face a battle that you were not equipped for. I'll say it again. Whenever you avoid the battle you were born for, you face a battle you're not equipped for. Every one of us we're not born for the fun of it. You're born on time on purpose. You were born on purpose, for a purpose. And we said purpose defines the meaning of life, of why you exist. Everybody has a universal purpose to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Everybody say, that's my purpose. Everybody has a universal purpose, is to go and make disciples of all nations or ethnic groups. So I should become an evangelist and a disciple maker. He didn't say go into all the world and try to persuade people to come to church. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we gotta ask ourselves, am I preaching the gospel? Am I proclaiming the good news of Jesus in my world? Because everybody can't go to all the world, but everybody can go to their world. Amen. Who's in your world that you're preaching to? That you're sharing Christ and showing Christ? You're showing the light and the love and the life of Christ through your example as a Christian believer, as a born-again, spirit-filled believer. And then who are you sharing your faith with, your faith in Christ with? If you're not doing it on a consistent, regular basis, then you forgot your purpose. Because you're not at that job just to make money. I know people think that they pay me a good check, I make a good salary. Yes, but you're there for a purpose. Amen. Are you listening to me? You're in that community for a purpose. You live in that apartment complex for a purpose. Amen. People need Jesus, and you've got him inside of you. And so you should be sharing and showing Jesus to your world.
Hallelujah.
And everybody has a united purpose. Because God says, stay where you belong. He set members in the church, every one of them, as pleases. You're not there to warm up the seat every week. We have a purpose as a church. If you forgot to stay hooked up, to stay engaged, to stay empowered, and to operate in excellence, then you forgot your purpose. Because the team is only as strong as the weakest link. Teamwork makes the dream work. Together, we all achieve more. Teams win.
Amen.
There's no I in team. When I think it doesn't matter, when I get indifferent, when I get blurry vision, when I don't fail to catch the vision of the house and catch the fire of the Holy Ghost in the house, then I lost my purpose.
Amen.
That united purpose. And then there's a unique purpose. That means I'm tailor-made. I'm uniquely made and uniquely designed to do something, to be something, and to beget something. What is your unique purpose? What is the united purpose? What is the universal purpose? These are things that you and I should focus on, because whenever you avoid the battle you were born for, you face a battle you're not equipped for. So people get distracted, oh my Lord, through different things. People whisper in your ear. People tell you they don't take all that. The devil's on your shoulder on Wednesday night. Do I face traffic through that hot sun and burn up my gas, or do I stay at home? Can I give 1 hour to God? You know you're at home on Wednesday night eating bologna and cheese. Fox News, you can record it. Your favorite TV show, you can put it off and put it on. Some of y'all got those recorders and stuff. You can record that stuff.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Because sometimes we think, well, I don't want to fight that battle. If it's traffic or if it's trouble. Because I take on more responsibility. If I start coming, they're going to start using me more. And then I don't want the devil to start flaring up in my life. So I got to stay back. I got to cool off. I got to step down here a little bit. Whenever you avoid the battle you were born for, friends, every one of us, you're wired for this. You're born for such a time as this. You're not junk material. You are precious. in God's sight. Amen. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Amen. You're a chosen generation because he's called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Glory to God. We ought to be dragging people to church because we have the wonderful Savior on the inside of us. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. And some of us got so lazy we use excuses. Well, I can't do this. I can't come. Well, get somebody to come pick you up. Amen. Come take me to church. Amen. Then take them to church. Amen. And then say, I'm believing God to put gas in your tank so you can get me to church. We go to church again. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, we learn and take note. Just got a few little bit more. Y'all good? We're going to take communion. Lord, do something. Hallelujah. We learn and take note from the danger of distraction and the pitfalls of broken focus that David succumbed to is to stay focused and flee temptation on the onset. See, the Bible says in verse 1, he should have, when kings were supposed to be battling, he was supposed to be out there on the battlefield. But see, if you're not charging ahead with focused vision pursuit, then the devil's going to have you chewing on your flesh. And your flesh is going to get stirred up. Hallelujah. Because see, this is a lesson in temptation, which we all face. The early we can detect it and respond to temptation, the easier it is to change direction and stay focused. Because if we pay attention to a satanic attraction, it will become a satanic distraction. The purpose of distraction is to take you away from your purpose. So we call it back in the old days, PYT, if it's a pretty young thing, I'm old school, so I'm sorry. That's just old school. See, Brother Steve knows he's laughing too. If it's something else, it takes you away from your focus. Yeah. And y'all know, and I mean, I work too, but, you know, and I have to stay focused on Wednesday night. There's a certain time I got to cut things off. I don't get distracted and you stay at work at 6 o'clock and say, oh, I can't make it to church. No, that's my assignment. Amen. My assignment is to be here. Amen. The best ability is availability. Hallelujah. How do we know it's a satanic attraction? It tries to break your focus away from the Word of God, away from the will of God, and the plan and purpose of God for your life. It's trying to pull you out of focus. Everybody say, stay focused. Y'all getting something out of this? So where did David go wrong? Let's examine David's life a little bit. Let's exegete these scriptures for just a little bit. First, if you're taking notes, he ignored his place and his purpose. He was a king. His purpose was to be in battle. See, we fighting demons that we shouldn't have to fight because we're not fighting with the family in the family fight. The lion always gets the straggling wildebeest or the antelope in the jungle. And the devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he's looking for the weak ones, the stragglers, the one that's not in the company of believers, the one that's not praying together with the saints. And now you're trying to pray the devil's off your body and out of your life. He ignored his place and purpose. You know, family business is prayer. Participation in service, gatherings, and partnering together in the work that we have to do as a church family. You can't ignore your place and purpose. Secondly, he indulged in his flesh's passion because when you get distracted, you begin to focus on your flesh instead of focus on your spirit and the call of God in your life. Third, he initiated the proposition. He went and asked about the girl. when that pop-up comes up on your computer, you don't stay and look at it. Because it'll give you a question. Do you want to go on this site? And you have a choice to make. Do I press yes or do I press no? You already know. Your spirit's saying no, 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 no. And your flesh is so strong, you override and you say yes. And then all that stuff comes in. Well, praise God. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay. Because you initiate the proposition. He did. He sent forth. And they told him. This is Bathsheba. We got her name. We got who she married. And that's the fourth one. He ignored the prohibition. She is the wife of Uriah, the Hittite. That means, king, she's married. And he said, I don't care. He's out on the battlefield. Bring her here. A satanic attraction is nothing more than a temptation to sin. Are you listening to me? James says it this way, James 1, 13 through 15. And remember, when you are being tempted, don't say, God is tempting me. Don't run around talking about my flesh is out of control. God's trying to teach me something. No, you're getting into bed with the wrong person. Amen. You stay out of bed. Amen. Stay in your own bed. And keep other people's hands off of you. Ooh, glory to God. God's not tempting you to smoke weed. God's not tempting you to get drunk. Oh, glory to God. Y'all still love me today? God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else to do wrong. Temptation comes from our own desires, and they entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Friends, temptation is inevitable. No one escapes it. Not even Christ did. We read Matthew's account, Luke's account. We see that he was tempted in three areas that we will always be tempted in. Number one, the lust of the flesh. Your flesh wants to eat something or engage in something that it shouldn't be. And number two, the lust of the eyes. This is exactly what was thrown in Adam and Eve in the garden. The lust of Satan hurled all three of them at him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. He told him, look at the apple, look at the fruit. It looks good. Looks good for food. Eyes wanted him. I want this. Commercials are designed that way. Marketing people, experts do that. They hit you up and say, hey, you got to get that new device. You got to get the new phone. You got to go see that new movie. You got to go see this. And your eyes draw you away. Amen? And then the lust, the pride of life. What did he tell Jesus? When he was hungry, fasting 40 days and 40 nights, the devil shows up when he's hungry. Your flesh is hungry. He said what? Make this bread out of a stone. Make it bread out of a stone. He's in other words, create manna for yourself, provision for yourself through your own means without God's help. Then he told him, I'm going to put you on the throne before you die on the cross. His purpose was not to go on the throne yet. His purpose was to die and be our substitute and sacrifice. And so he came as a lamb, not as a lion, as a ruler of the and King of kings and Lord of lords first. He came as a lamb of God to be slain before the foundation of the world, to give his life as ransom for many. Praise God. And so the devil was saying, I'm tempting you now to take over right now. If you just fall down and worship me, then I'm going to give you all his possessions and power and land, because he had control of it. Because he said, Satan said, it's been delivered to me. Who delivered it to him? Adam did. You got to see the big picture here. I'm going to give you what you desire. And he said, no, I can't do it. It ain't time yet. And then he said, go up on the pinnacle of the temple. Fall down and let's tempt God and see if God is going to save you. Because then he half quoted scripture to him. And he tried to tempt him to commit suicide. What was that? Pride of life. That means I'm trusting God. He better save me or else. In other words, you can't test God and put God out like that, tempting Christ, basically. You prove him only with the tithe and offering. Amen.
Amen?
Glory to God. Yielding to temptation is a sin. Temptation itself is not a sin. Temptation is also not just a single event, but a process involving four stages: enticement, the bait, the entrapment, the hook. So he uses a bait and a hook, just like a fishing term. He entraps you. And then the endorsement, and then the enslavement. Amen. Sin always deceives, we said. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sin always deceives.
Amen.
See, the key to overcoming temptation is not just to resist, but also to change one's thoughts. In other words, refocus your mind on what's true and the one who assures victory. And so we must realize that the enemy is relentless in our onslaught of temptation to break your focus through distractions, to get you to quit serving, sowing, and supporting the gospel, to get you to quench the fire and the faith of God in your heart and your life, to quiet down the witness and worship and work to share and show Christ, his light and his love in and through our lives, and to quell our partnership, to cool down our partnership with the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ to advance the kingdom and bring him glory. That's what we're all here for.
Amen.
I want you to consider what we said before, that the distractions are the destruction of your dream in slow motion. You must decide what matters most. You must decide what matters now. And decide what matters to the purpose, priority, and plan of God for your life. Zig Ziglar said in closing, as I'm getting ready to close here, the lack of direction, not time, is the problem. We all have 24 hours a day. So we must eliminate and evaluate what must not dominate. To move from where you are to where you need to be, living out your God-given dream, vision, walking in the plan and purpose of God for your life, you must evaluate and eliminate what must not dominate. Jesus said one phrase, interesting phrase, in Luke 17:32, he said, remember Lot's wife. If you studied the story of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, they came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angel of the Lord told them, don't look back. He warned them, don't look back, or you can be turned into a pillar of salt. And in the midst of trouble, Jesus told them, remember Lot's wife. And Smith Wigglesworth said it this way, never look back if you want to see the power of God. Never look back if you want to see the power of God. Some of us look back to the days where we didn't have to serve and we didn't have to do things for God. And so we want our life back. See, she wanted her life back and her lifestyle back. She had broken focus. And she turned into a salt lick. Paul said it this way in Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. Don't allow yourself to be caught up with the extreme, being extremely busy while under the power of minor things. We wake up in the morning and respond to other people's agenda and other priorities, when our priority is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to ask God, what do you have for me today? In other words, we break and lose the discipline of focus. Amen. Stay for everybody. Say, stay focused.
Stay focused.
Again, I'll remind you again, a good thing is the enemy of a God thing. And nothing becomes dynamic until it's specific. You never win in life with divided focus. You must stay focused. Your focus decides the weakness of your enemy. Don't spend too much time doing second things first. Put first things first. I mean, guys, sometimes we can get so out of focus that we show up to church without prayer and without preparing and planning. Man, our miracles are waiting for us here.
Amen.
If we come prayed up and prepared spiritually,
yes,
and mentally, attitudinally, we come prepared for this is the day that the Lord's going to break out. Triumph Award Christian Center. This is the season that God's going to fill up and overflow our church with more people, more money, and more help.
Amen.
And we come into church without even praying. Without even prepared to see big and great and mighty things from God. We don't get what we want in life, friends. We get what we prepare for. And preparation is never lost time. Faith prepares. Faith gets ready. And faith must stay focused. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands up to God. Hallelujah.